Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, and welcome to today's IBM Service Management Jam, IBM Maximo Planning and Scheduling. I'm Wendy Whalen, and I'll be your moderator today. We have just a few announcements before we begin. Today's webcast is designed to be interactive. You can ask questions at any time. Just type your question into the Ask a Question text area in the lower left corner of your interface and click Submit. To enlarge the slide window, click on the Enlarge Slide button in the lower left corner. The slides will advance automatically throughout the event. You can download a PDF copy of the slides by clicking on the Download Slide button in the lower left. We recommend you do this to keep a record of the webcast and to use the links in the slides, such as those on the first and last slides about the jam. If you experience any technical difficulties, click on the Help button located in the lower left to contact our technical support helpline. Now let's move on to the presentation, IBM Maximo Planning and Scheduling. Today's speakers are Nithya Parameswaran, IBM Maximo Lead Designer and Architect, and Brian Downey, IBM Maximo Design Architect. Brian, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Wendy, and welcome, everybody. It's a pleasure to speak with you today about Maximo Planning and Scheduling, and specifically the Maximo Asset Management Scheduler that we'll be focusing on today. For the agenda, I'll be going through a few slides to show the overview and background of this project that culminated in the Maximo Asset Management Scheduler. The background, the requirements, the customer demand that led to this project. And then in lieu of a demo, we're going to be going through screenshots of the product in detail and describing all of its main features and capabilities. And then we'll hand it back to Wendy for a question and answer session. As we go, feel free to type any questions that you might have throughout the presentation into the chat window, and we'll try to keep an eye on that and address them as they come up. So let's move to the next slide. And here we have the background for this project. We've been tracking demand on better planning and scheduling, particularly more visible planning and scheduling using visual controls and drag and drop. And graphical controls inside Maximo so that you can see work schedules, edit work schedules, and the related labor resources that are needed to perform the work on those work orders. Historically, we've had adapters to project management systems like Microsoft Project and Primavera. There are also many, many homegrown systems out there where customers have adapted an interface to Excel or another tool to get the work and labor information out into a tool that is easy to manipulate the scheduling information in. We saw a lot of demand for this, and we decided that it's time to build those kinds of graphical controls directly into the Maximo framework to make it easier for that simple planning and scheduling operation just by dragging and dropping work orders in a Gantt chart. So we saw with the adapters that those planning tools are essential for large-scale capital projects. But by many users, they're often viewed as too heavy and cumbersome for doing simple planning because of the need to integrate several products, to keep the data synchronized in separate databases, and to maintain those third-party products if all you really need to do is day-to-day scheduling. So to recap, the request for visual planning tools has continued to increase with virtually all customers and across every industry, and that led us to decide to build graphical planning, drag and drop work order scheduling directly into Maximo. And that led to Maximo Scheduler 7.1.1. What is the Maximo Scheduler? It's quite simply, it's a Maximo application built directly into the Maximo framework based on a Gantt tool that lets you schedule work orders and tasks using drag and drop by clicking on work orders, dragging them in the schedule, changing start dates, finish dates, durations, and placement in the schedule by simply using the mouse on the Gantt chart, which is pretty revolutionary for Maximo. As you know, it's a tabular-based system for the most part, and in order to see a schedule, it's been rather difficult in the past to be able to go straight to an app with a query and a result set that brings your work orders up and renders them into a Gantt chart control is quite an advancement. So in this small little schematic you see on this chart, you can see a few things going on. We have parent-child relationships, a scheduled work order followed by the top-level work order followed by its tasks. We have links or logical precedence relationships connecting them. We're using color to denote statuses, and we're showing starts, finishes, and durations, all of which are graphically editable with the mouse by click and drag or drag and drop. Maximo Scheduler is an extension, and it can be installed on top of FixPack 7115 of Maximo, the latest available FixPack. General availability is scheduled for August 28th, right around the corner. We mentioned that we've seen and tracked very large customer demand for a long time through forums such as our sales channels and our marketing channels, all the places we go to visit customers like the Pulse meetings and the utility working groups and the regional Pulse comes to use, and we've collected and analyzed that information. And planning and scheduling always popped up to the top of the list as an area the customers want to have enhanced capabilities. Along with better graphical tools and visual tools inside Maximo. Those two things seem to come together very well for this particular application and this particular need. And it does go across all industries. We intend it to be easier to acquire, easier to use, and easier to implement than the adapters are, particularly for that simple daily and weekly planning and scheduling operation. And that's the main vision of version one of the Maximo Asset Management Scheduler, a good alternative, an easier to use and implement alternative to the adapters for basic scheduling. There are some things that the Maximo Scheduler is not. It is not a costing or budgeting tool. It is not a project management tool in terms of being appropriate for managing a very large, complex capital project. And it's not yet a schedule compliance tool in terms of having stored baseline schedules and analysis on percent complete and variances of budget versus actual. Although we've collected a lot of enhancement requests in that area, it seems to be an area of importance for most customers, and I think it's safe to say that this will be something that we will be building into the tool in a subsequent version. So in the planning horizon, we've divided this chart into a left portion and a right portion. The left portion is daily and weekly planning and scheduling. The x-axis is time, and the y-axis is the amount of detail that exists on the work order. For those short-term schedules, dailies and weeklies, you typically have a high level of detail. The work orders tend to be in a waiting to be scheduled or an approved status. They have job plans, work plans, safety plans, and all of their compliance information and their approval information all set up. So they've been planned out and ready to be scheduled. For this type of operation, the first version of Maximo Scheduler 7.1 is ideal with its drag-and-drop scheduling of work orders on the Gantt chart. Now, moving out into weeks, months, and quarters and years, we go into more of a strategic long-range planning operation. And for that, our version 2 of Maximo Scheduler, which is 7.1.1.1 that's due out next year, will introduce forecast analysis into the mix. And forecast analysis is an extension to our preventive maintenance application that lets you forecast future PMs, store all of the job plan sequence and date information in a new table, and actually edit those future dates in the Gantt chart next to your production work orders and using the same resource library to show the combined load of crafts and labor with both production work orders coming up in the short to midterm and upcoming PMs in the short, mid, and long range forecast. Let's go into some screenshots and start talking about specific functionality. This is the main tab of the new scheduler application. And on the main tab, we have a number of fields. We have the schedule ID and description. We have a calendar. We'll be talking about calendars and shifts and the applicability of calendars and shifts to the schedule in a few minutes. We have several flags, a public flag to make this a public schedule to everybody with the same privileges, or a private flag for just the author of the schedule. We have a preserve existing records flag, which means that all of the records that built the original schedule shall be preserved, and the refresh will re-exercise the query and only append new records that meet that query. We have refresh when opening the Gantt view. By default, we refresh the Gantt view the first time we open it. You can click this flag if there's going to be a lot of changes back and forth between Maximo app applications and the scheduler application. You can have it do an automatic refresh for you, but there's also a manual button in the scheduler where you can ask for a refresh to be done at any time. Then we move over to the top right. We have four system-generated fields, last saved, last committed, created by, and created date. We have a preserve schedule start dates checkbox, and that checkbox will hold on to the dates that you use in your last scheduling session for any work orders in the set that don't have predecessors. So wherever you manually placed the work orders in the last session, they'll be preserved as the starting point for this new session. And then there's a start date, which is the date from which all the work orders will be scheduled forward for this particular schedule and user combination. Now I'm going to pause and hand it over to Nithya. He's going to move down to the middle section of this tab and talk a little bit to us about queries and how they're built and how they build the information that is used to actually launch the Gantt view with data in it. So welcome, Nithya, and I'm handing it over to you now.
Thanks, Brian. Hello, everyone. So in the main tab is where you can define the list of work orders that you want to see in the scheduler application. So here you can create the criteria that brings in all the work orders into the Gantt view. So if you look at the middle section, the work queries table window, you can see a couple of fields like data source, where condition, and the query name. So currently you can get all the work order information, and that's why the data source says work order. And to the right, you see the where condition class. So that's where you specify the criteria that brings in the work orders. There are multiple ways in which you can build that criteria. You can just type in the WHERE class, like in the previous slide, site equals Bedford and location equals Boiler. So you can directly type that in the WHERE condition table, WHERE condition field. You can also use the query builder. The query builder shows you all the columns that are available in the work order object, and you can use any one of those columns and then write your criteria. So for example, you can say, show me all work orders that are in waiting for approval status. Or you can say, like, show me all the work orders where Rogers is the supervisor. So the condition can be anything. We also provide you another quicker capability to bring in the work orders. For example, if you already have any saved query in your work order application, then you can bring in that saved query into the scheduler. So if you have any predefined queries, you just need to use the copy query button that you see right below the WHERE condition field. And that would give you access to all the saved queries that are either public or that was created as private just for the user that's logged in. So you have access to those queries, and that can be brought forward to the scheduler. So now that once you define these criteria and save it, now you can move on to the next tab where you can see all the work orders in the Gantt view. So now what you see here in the screen is the Gantt tab in the same scheduler application. The first tab, you define the criteria, and the second tab, you see the work orders that matches that particular criteria. So this Gantt view is divided into four sections. You can see the left-hand side that shows the actual work orders with the description, the start date, end date, and the status. The right-hand side top shows that work order in a Gantt fashion. And just right above the Gantt bars, you can see the calendar or the time scale. Currently, it shows September, starting from 1st September up to 5th of September. At the bottom left corner, you see the resources. Now, this is brought in based on whatever resource you have specified in your planned labor in your work order application. So all those resources that are required by the list of work orders shown above are listed below. And on the right-hand side bottom shows the requirement of those individual resources. So, for example, carpenter, and if you need let's say, two Carpenter results from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, then that is shown as the stacked bar chart at the bottom. For better clarity, you can click on each of that resource to see a better picture. So currently it shows all the resources with all the load, but you can click on just one resource to see that particular resource's requirement or the load. Here, this particular chart also has zoom facility, so you can zoom in or zoom out. You can zoom in up to the minute. We have heard customers who want to schedule work up to the minute level. And you can also zoom up and go and view work orders for a year or two. As Brian mentioned in his previous slide, like when it comes to forecast analysis, when you see PM forecast, you would like to see all the PMs that are occurring for the next 1 year or 2 years. And this particular view is scalable to whatever time that you want to look at it. So let's now look at each of these sections. Let's look at the left top section, which is the work order information that shows the work order and its children in a tree format. So you can collapse or you can expand that tree section. We do have an option where you don't need to bring the tasks into the scheduler. So you can specify that in the work order application itself. So for individual work orders, you can set the flag to indicate whether the tasks of that work order should come into the scheduler or not. We got this input from quite a few customers when we showed the proof of concept of this product, because they say like some tasks are just instructions, so they are not actually a schedulable task. So all the resources are specified at the work order level, and the tasks indicate like what should be done to perform the job. So in those cases, the tasks won't come, just the work order alone will come as a header. In other cases, if it's a big project that takes 2 or 3 days to do and you have schedulable tasks, then you can once again bring those tasks into the scheduler if you want. So that's the left-hand section. Now, currently you see the work order, the tasks, the description, the start date, end date, priority, and status. That particular section is totally configurable. So out of the box, we display like 7 or 8 columns from the work order object. But you have the capability to configure that particular table window to show more fields. For example, if you want to see the job plan, or you want to see the asset and the location, or you want to see the supervisor, so you can do it. And you can use this particular the table window, which is available as an action in the scheduler application, to configure what should be the view. This particular view is a little more flexible. You can see at in that particular screenshot, it also specifies the schedule name, which means that this particular table configuration can be schedule specific. So you can have one schedule that shows, let's say, the priority as the first column, and you can have another schedule that shows the location and the asset as the first two columns. So it is very configurable and it is schedule specific. Going back to the table view, so you can also see the color there. You can see the last column, which is status, and that's all shown in dark blue. You can also show work orders in approved status in a different color, the completed status in a different color. And out of the box, we have 3 colors, one for the whopper, one for anything that is approved or in progress or in waiting for material status. And we have another color for completed. Now, that is, once again, configurable. You can have status-specific colors, and you can there is a setting where you can go and change the colors. We also heard some requests that, what about priority? So now you have a choice here, too. Out of the box, we enable it for status, but you can go and change it to show it for the priority. So you can say, like, show me the priority 1 and 2 work orders in one color, then 3, 4, 5, and 6 may be in a different color, and then 7, 8, 9, and 10 in a totally different color. So that's, once again, configurable. That's with the configuration and the Gantt, how we can change the table window in the Gantt view. You can go to the next slide, which is the Gantt view itself. So on the right-hand top section is where you see all the work orders and the tasks shown as bars. What you can do here is you can actually drag a particular bar and move it back and forth. When you do that, what you are effectively doing is changing the start date and end date of that particular task or the work order. You can also change or drag the leading edge or the trailing edge of the bar. So if you move the leading edge of the bar, then you are changing the start date of that particular task as well as the duration of that particular task. Or if you are dragging the trailing edge of the bar, then you are changing the end date of that particular task and also changing the duration. So whenever you drag these task bars back and forth, what you would be effectively changing is the scheduled start date and end date of that particular work order or the task. In cases where you don't have a scheduled start date end date in the work order application, what we will do is we'll assume the target start and target end as the scheduled start and schedule finish, and that will be shown in the Gantt view. And any changes you make will be saved in the scheduled start and scheduled end date plus the duration in the work order application. So the bottom section is the resources and the resource load. What I'll do is now I'll hand over to Brian. He'll be talking about some more capabilities of the Gantt view, and I'll come back again to talk about the resources and the calendar more in detail. Brian?
Great. Thank you, Nithya. We're going to talk about the main inputs to the critical path method of scheduling, and we'll differentiate that for you between manual drag-and-drop scheduling and critical path method scheduling. Those being the two main ways to use the tool to put work orders at a certain date and time. Now, manual scheduling is picking up work orders by clicking on them with the mouse, which highlights that row or selected rows if you want to move more than one at a time, clicking and dragging the work order to a new place on the time scale. As you do so, an interactive pop-up dialog shows you in real time, the start, the finish, and the duration. So you can pick up a work order and drag it to a new point in the schedule. You can also click on the beginning or start area of a work order and change its start date and duration. You can also click on the finish portion of a work order and drag it, which changes the finish date and duration. So you can move the bar as a whole, changing its place in the schedule and preserving its duration. Or you can individually change starts and finishes. You can also select multiple rows, and move them all in bulk. So manual scheduling is simply selecting the rows you want and putting them in the schedule where you wish for them to be. Now, as far as automation is concerned, we have critical path method scheduling. The top right of the scheduler's toolbar has two buttons. One does critical path method scheduling on the entire open set of work orders in the schedule. The other does critical path method scheduling on selected rows. Or if you have selected a parent, it will just schedule that branch of the hierarchy. Critical path method first looks at all work orders with no predecessors, and it will schedule them either where you last placed them, if you've used the preserve flag, as I showed you on the main tab earlier, or it will place them at the start date of the schedule. It'll add the duration to those starts to calculate the finishes, and then it'll look at any precedences that predecessor may have to a successor, calculate the precedence information, schedule the successors, and go all the way through the network from the left to the right, if you will, calculating all of the predecessor-successor information, the network as a whole, and the critical path and its float, so you know which activities, tasks, and work orders are critical and which are less critical. That will build the schedule, and if you see on this schedule we're depicting here, the first main work order has a set of tasks, and I've built out precedence relationships between those tasks. We have all four precedence relationship types in the scheduler. We have start to start, start to finish, finish to start, and finish to finish. And you can see one of each here in this network of tasks under that work order. We also, as an additional property to the link or the precedence constraint itself, we have lead and lag time. So you can specify on one of those precedence constraints a lead time, which is an overlap between the predecessor and successor, or a lag time, which forces a gap between the predecessor and successor. And that will all be built into the calculation of the critical path method of scheduling. And so in this case, when I brought this schedule up for the first time, that network of tasks all started on the start date because no algorithm had told it yet what the schedule would be for those connected tasks. By pressing the CPM button, they straightened out into the schedule you see now by applying starts, finishes, leads, lags, precedence, constraints, and calculating me for me a critical path schedule. There are other inputs and other visual clues on the screen that you can see that tell you when things need to be done, which we'll get to in a couple of minutes, but we can have date constraints on work orders, for instance, to show the compliance window for the work orders. Now, for that network of tasks you see that I described having precedence relationships, those could have come from any one of several sources. They could have been on the job plan itself, in which case they come straight into the scheduler as a result of having been applied to the work order when the work order was generated from the job plan. They could have been added manually in the work order itself, because in the work order application, you can specify what the predecessor is for a currently selected work order. And thirdly, they can actually be built and managed here graphically in the scheduler. If you look around the middle part of the toolbar, you can see icons for making and for breaking a precedence relationship. You can click on the precedence toolbar and literally draw a line between the predecessor and successor and make that relationship. Go into its properties, specify a lead or lag, or press the delete constraint tool if you wish to remove one. So you can manage them completely graphically here in the scheduler, but it's also completely synchronized with what's in the job plan and also what's within the work order. So that's kind of CPM nuts and bolts for you. We'll move on to the next slide here and talk about a very specific feature that we've added to maximal work orders and the PMs 47115. A new pair of fields, start no earlier than and finish no later than. Many customers told us that when they have particular work orders that are compliance-type work orders that need to be audited for their schedule compliance, they need to be able to say what the start no earlier than and start no and finish no later than date window is so they can determine whether the work was completed properly. And so we have a way of specifying that either in the work order app or as the work order is generated from PM using offsets to create those dates relative to the targets. And you can see them shown here as vertical red dashed markers, which depict the scheduling window of compliance for this work order as specified on the work order application. And should any of the tasks or any of the work orders in this group go outside of either of those boundaries, they turn into a red color to tell the planner scheduler person at a glance that that task or work order is out of compliance. When you fire up the scheduler, you'll see it. Any red tasks or activities that need to be zoomed in on. As soon as you click on their row, the window comes up. You can move that work order back into compliance with a drag and drop of the work order. So that's a brand new feature called date constraints that give you a scheduling compliance window and some visual tools inside the scheduler to see what's in and outside of compliance. We'll move to our last topic here on scheduling. And a very important feature is the bulk schedule, bulk reschedule. The top section of this chart shows the schedule as we were just recently looking at it. I had pressed the CPM button on that top work order and it had applied the durations and precedence constraints and leads and lags to those tasks and given me an accurate critical path schedule of that work order and its tasks. Below it, there's a work order that I want to simply move graphically out to the next week or month. So what I've done is I have clicked on a row and dragged the mouse down to select several rows. That selects all of the several work orders in the Gantt chart and makes them all graphically editable together as a group. And then I can click on anyone and move the whole batch to a new date and time. It's a very convenient way for picking things up and simply moving them to another date and time. A very common use case being all work orders from last week's planning schedule that are either in progress and uncompleted or were never started. Filter the view to show me just those. Encircle them all or click shift-click or click control-click to get a group or individual members of a group, and then move those work orders out to the next week by just clicking and dragging with the mouse. So that is a pretty good treatment of critical path method automation for building a schedule, and also for the bulk scheduling and rescheduling of work orders, and also for the graphical editability of the start, finish, duration, and links between work orders and between tasks. So I'm going to hand it back over to Nithya, and Nithya is going to talk to us a little bit about calendars and how calendars apply to building and maintaining the schedule, and also how the resource availability coordinates with the calendars, so the work orders and resources are coordinated in the chart. Nithya?
Thanks, Brian. So when you build a schedule in the Schedule Main tab, you can also specify a calendar to the schedule. Now, by applying the calendar, what happens is on the time scale, if you see on the right-hand side on your screen, you can see some gray vertical bars. So the gray vertical bars indicate the non-working time, and the white portion indicates the working time. So you have an option when you define a schedule. Like, you can have certain schedules that are for a daytime. You can have another schedule where the work is done only during an evening shift or during a night shift. The calendar is not mandatory. You would have seen it in the previous slides where you didn't see that particular gray vertical bars. So those schedules didn't have a calendar, which indicates that work can be done anytime. So it's a 24/7 operation, and work can be scheduled during any time. So you have that particular option of either specifying a calendar or not. Now, you know that when you specify a calendar, you also need to specify the shift. The shift indicates the actual working time during the working days. In the scheduler, you can associate more than one shift. So you can say that this particular schedule is for both the morning shift as well as the evening shift. So in that case, you would see more white space and less gray space, indicating that it's the nighttime when the work is not done. So you have the capability of adding multiple shifts to the calendar here, which indicates that the work would be handed over to the next shift as one shift ends. So that's a capability. Now, if you look at the schedule here, the chart, you can see that the work has been scheduled even during a non-working time. We do have a flag that indicates whether this work can be interrupted or not interrupted. So appropriately setting that particular flag would automatically shift or schedule this work only during working time. And if a work starts during a working time and ends during a non-working time, then that particular flag will control whether should I push the non-working portion back to a working portion or can I leave it like that. So in cases where the tasks are interruptible, then it would start and end only during working time. So any time during non-working time, that task would not be performed during that time. So your resource requirements would reflect accordingly. However, if you say that it is uninterruptible, then when you start the job during a working time, it will still let you schedule during a non-working time, because once you start the job, I cannot end it. And the CPM algorithm that Brian just spoke about would also honor these flags. So when you hit the CPM button, it is going to look at whether a particular task is interruptible or not, and taking the duration of the task, it will accordingly set the start date and end date, and also compute the resource requirement. So that's with the calendar capability. Let's move One thing which I forgot to mention while I was talking about the Gantt view is the filter capability. So when you specify this particular criteria, you might end up with, let's say, like 500 work orders. And looking at all 500 work orders and navigating might be a little overwhelming. And maybe you want to filter and just look at maybe like first the priority one work orders, then move on to the second priority two work orders, and then move to the third, fourth, and fifth. So you have the capability here to just filter out the work orders based on any field. There's a quick filter using description. You can just type in a description and it will filter based on the description. And you also have a dialog that will pop up and provide you all the fields in the work order application. And you can specify any value in those fields and it will further filter the list that you see. And you can quickly switch back and forth. You can quickly hit the show all button that you see on the top left side to clear all the filter fields and then show all the work orders that matches the criteria. So you have the filter capability here as well. Now let's look at the bottom portion, which is the resource requirements. So it shows the craft requirements for all the tasks that are listed above. Now with the calendar, you also have an additional capability here. Now, if you see this particular slide at the bottom portion, the view has changed a little bit. You can see that there are I have the focus on electrician, and it shows the blue bars at the bottom are the availability of the electrician resource, and the orange one is the requirement or the load on that particular resource. So here you can see that I have availability only during the working time. I have no availability during the non-working time. That's why you don't see any blue shades during the non-working time. But however, my work orders are scheduled even during non-working time, and that's why you see the orange going all the way from the working time to non-working time. And in certain cases, it exceeds the availability. So this view would allow you to now schedule your work so that your resources are optimally loaded, meaning like you don't over-allocate or under-allocate the resource. Now that can be done by dragging the task bar or the work order bar back and forth. So as you move the bars back and forth, the load at the bottom is dynamic. It will immediately show you what the load is and whether it matches the availability or not. So it's pretty dynamic as you move your work orders back and forth. We also have another capability here. As I said, if there's a lot of work orders that are displayed and there are a lot of resources at the bottom, it might be once again a little overwhelming to see which work order requires which resource. So once again, there's a quick filter capability. You can right-click on any of that particular resource and quickly identify what are the work orders or tasks that requires that particular resource. So you have that capability as well. I will now hand it over to Brian, and Brian is going to talk some of the commit and duplicate capabilities of this particular schedule.
Thank you, Nithya. I wanted to mention a few of the actions we have from the action menu and also about the save and commit process, and then describe a little bit about printing to kind of wrap up the demo portion of the presentation. Like all Maximo applications, Scheduler has a save button. But it's a little different from other Maximo applications in that it has also a commit button. A schedule is unique to a user and a schedule ID, and that includes the table configurations for that schedule. When you press the save button as a planner scheduler, you are saving your edits to that schedule to the scheduler's tables in a what-if session. When you are ready to publish the schedule to the Maximo work order business object, you use the commit button. In that way, you can work on a schedule through multiple sessions and just be doing what-if analysis, moving work orders around, making links, breaking links, rescheduling things without affecting the underlying work orders. Only when you're happy with the schedule would you press the commit button. And that actually publishes the schedule through the Maximo work order business object to the database. And that's a very important feature. It lets you do what-if scheduling on an open set of work without affecting anything else, primarily the underlying work orders themselves. So that's the two-stage commit and the difference between the save button and the commit button. We also, in the action menu, have two different kinds of duplicate. Most Maximo applications have a duplicate command, which duplicates a record. We can actually duplicate a schedule, and there are two ways we can do it. We can duplicate just the header of the schedule or the schedule definition to set the next person up to have a similar schedule. Or we can duplicate the entire schedule, including the scheduler temp tables for the what-if, so it's an identical carbon copy of the schedule as it currently exists for the original author. So we have two kinds of duplicate commands. One useful for setting up a template of queries that other people may want to use. The other for creating an exact copy of an existing schedule. And lastly, we have print capability. A lot of people, when they publish their weekly plan, want to print out the hard copy and bring it to the planning meeting or put it on the internal website for people to review and approve. And so we do have a way to print the schedule, both the Gantt chart portion as well as the resource availability and load. Either or both of those charts can be printed. And the print button will bring up a dialog of preferences for things like headers, footers, borders, pagination, and how you want the Gantt chart to appear. For instance, how many columns you want printed per page, and do you want all of the work orders across the entire time scale to be printed versus a slice of time. So, for instance, maybe the schedule spans 3 months, but you're interested in 1 week. You could configure the Gantt to only show you the relevant portion. And quite a few features like that to prepare the hard copy output for publishing. And so it's a pretty complete tool in terms of graphical editing of work orders and their links and precedences. The printing of the information, and the saving and committing of the information through that two-stage save-commit process from the what-if schedule to the published plan. And this is our last chart. So with that, I'm going to hand it back to Wendy, and we can start the question and answer portion of the presentation.
Excellent, Brian. Thank you. We've got plenty of questions to ask, so let's get going. First question, if I use... First of all, to submit a question, just click on the Submit a Question button at the lower left corner of your window and click Submit. Okay, number one. If I use Maximo Scheduler, does that mean I can't use the Microsoft Project or Primavera adapter?
Okay, thank you, Wendy. No, if you can... certainly have the Maximo Scheduler coexist with either the MS Project or Primavera adapters. You may find that there are some users in your organization who are accustomed to those tools. You know, somebody might like some of the features in MS Project and the ability to share the schedule with other Microsoft Office applications for publishing purposes, for example. Or perhaps you have a capital project planner who uses some of the advanced features of Primavera to maintain very large outage type or turnaround type schedules. And for those reasons, you might want to still keep those around. Scheduler can coexist with them. Scheduler is a baked-in Maximo application that we think will have more broad appeal to a wider range of users, especially for daily, weekly, and monthly scheduling because of its accessibility. And it'll certainly coexist with the other adapters, no problem. Thank you.
Sure. Is this part of Core Maximo or an add-on? How is licensing done, and what is the price?
It is an add-on on top of Maximo 7.1.1.5, and as Brian showed in the earlier slides, releasing in August 28th, which is the end of this week. Pricing is something that I think the customer has to talk to the sales rep. We are from development, so we are not aware of the pricing policy.
I think the pricing, I think our pricing policy is that it remains unpublished until general availability, which is Friday. If somebody needed an emergency quotation, it can be done. There's a special form and a special that, so you'd want to contact your sales representative for that.
Okay, thank you. How is the craft resource availability calculated in the resource chart?
The craft calculation, okay, so the query that brings the work orders into the view is based on the work order object. And what we do is we look at the work order's work plan and craft requirements, and we bring in all the crafts that are required by any of the work orders in the set. And for availability, we go down to the individual labor resources that make up those crafts, and we sum them up over their calendars. And then thirdly, we give you an area in the main tab of the schedule to further restrict those labor codes that are used to sum up the craft availability using yet another filter on the labor object. So you could, for instance, just sum up the electricians for the, you know, Austin site or the Bedford site, or you could sum them up for a region or a work group or a geographic area or something like that. So we add up the labor by calendar, apply it to the craft, and then show the craft for whichever of the calendar shift combinations you've asked to have depicted for you on the schedule.
Thank you. How configurable is the data shown in the table next to the Gantt chart?
As I showed in one of the earlier slides, it's totally configurable. Any column in the work order table or the work order object can be shown in the table section through the configuration dialog, which is part of the scheduler application. If you want to also show other columns that are not in the work order table but in a related table, you can still do that using the relationship concept. So you can show virtually any column, provided they have some reference back to the work order that's been shown.
Okay. Can I use this tool to bulk reschedule a batch of work from last week to next week, say, in one simple operation?
Yes, the bulk operation is easy to do, and that's because you can select a range of work orders either in the table view by clicking and dragging up or down through that table view, or by clicking on one and then shift-clicking on the end of the range, or by clicking on one and then control-clicking to pick up a bunch of different members that make up that range. As you're doing that, you're highlighting the work orders in the Gantt chart. The other thing you can do is just by clicking and dragging, you can encircle a bunch of work orders in a rubber band, and that will highlight them all. And once those work orders are highlighted in the Gantt chart, clicking on any one of them will move the whole group in parallel as a batch. And so what I would do is I'd have filters on the set, or perhaps I'd have individual schedules that looked at records that might need to be bulk scheduled or bulk rescheduled. I'd select them all or select the group that I want to move and click and drag and move the whole group to the next work period or the next part of, for instance, maybe the next section of the rolling wave schedule that I'll be considering in my next session. And so that's how I would accomplish that kind of operation, by selecting many and moving them all together.
Are there any requests for, or is there a roadmap for adding a resource optimization engine to a future version of Scheduler?
Yes, we have been hearing that request from a few customers. So that is a potential candidate for a future release. We are looking into some resource leveling algorithms to see if we can incorporate it into the scheduler. It is not there yet, but it is definitely a candidate for a future release.
Okay. Is there an algorithm for short cycle auto schedule and dispatch?
The CPM is the algorithm that comes now, which takes into consideration the scheduled start dates on the work order of the task plus the task dependencies with lead and lag. There is no dispatching yet. Currently, this is a high-level planning tool where you look at the resource availability and check whether I can perform a job on a particular day or not. It doesn't do actual assignments, if that's what the intent of the question is regarding dispatching. It's not an assignment tool yet, but once again, that is something that we are looking into for a future release.
Okay, this questioner continues on. Will it, meaning the algorithm, be included within any of the existing solutions? So I guess you covered that, is that right?
So the questioner is asking about dispatching. We have, as Mithia mentioned, we have had a lot of feedback for doing short cycle scheduling down to the labor individual level. It's not here in the Scheduler 1, but because of the interest that we're seeing from the field and from the customers and from our development partners, I think it's pretty safe to say that it'll be on the list of major enhancements that will be coming out in a future version. We do get a lot of questions for it. There's no automatic algorithm inside Scheduler 1 to do that, nor do we have individual labor dispatch yet. As Cynthia mentioned, it's a little bit more of a high-level planning tool. We're at the craft level and the work order start and finish and constraint level.
Okay. Here's another one. We have a ton of questions, and we're going to post questions and answers on the new asset management community board, so don't despair if we don't get to your question. Configuring the table view, when you configure that, is it stored for that user forever or for that user for that session, for all users forever or for all users for that session?
Yeah, the table configuration is schedule-specific as well as user-specific. There are actually two settings. I didn't show another setting, which is the administrator setting. So the administrator first decides what are the columns that can be made visible. And so once the administrator sets, let's say, like 30 columns can be shown on the table view, then the user can now go in and pick few of that particular 30 that was enabled by the admin. Now, when the user does his setting or her setting, that will be specific to the user to that particular schedule. So if a user doesn't have any setting, then it's going to take the administrator setting, and that's what that particular user is going to get. So it is user-specific as well as scheduler-specific or schedule-specific.
Okay. Can we do resource leveling here?
It's manual. So if you look at the current chart that you see, like you have to do it manually by dragging the tasks back and forth to make sure that the load is not above the availability. As Brian and I pointed out earlier, we are looking into a resource leveling algorithm that can do this automatically, and that is something which is a future candidate.
And just to add one point to that, it's dawning on me now that one thing we give up in a static chart that you couldn't see in the demo is the synchronization of the resource chart with the Gantt chart, such that as you pick up a work order, for instance, that is using one of those crafts or requires one or more of those crafts, the resource chart is going to adjust in real time to the graphical editing that you're performing on the work order. So if you look at the chart on the screen right now, for instance, we're overloaded on that during that first working period. What I would probably do as a user is right-click on that resource, find where it's being used in the schedule, and then pick up, for instance, maybe the lower priority work orders of that group and move them to a point in the schedule further in the future that uses some of that availability we see going out into the next work periods out in the forward part of the schedule. So you are seeing a synchronized graphical movement between the work and the required resources, which makes manual leveling a lot easier. But I think long-term, the solution really is more complete with a resource leveling algorithm, and we're actively looking into adding that.
Okay, here's a question I can answer. How soon will a copy of this presentation be posted? You can download a copy right now by clicking on the download slide button on the lower left corner of your interface, and the replay will be available 24 hours from now. That's tomorrow at noon Eastern Daylight Time. There'll be a replay, the PDF again available, and a podcast. Okay. Can you demonstrate Maximo Live for the drag and drop functionality? I know you can't today, but are there any demos that people can access to see the drag and drop functionality?
what the customer can do is talk to the sales rep. They should be having access to this product, and they can do a live demo. And if the sales rep cannot do it, they'll be able to contact me or Brian, and then we can have a demo with the customer.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, yes, we cannot do right now, but definitely the sales rep should be able to arrange one.
Okay. What are the relationships that can be established between work order, or to a work order task?
The relationships can be built and maintained between peers or sibling records under the same parent. So we can't cross from a work order to a task, or from a work order under parent A to another work order under parent B, but underneath work order A, we can connect any of its tasks together. And under, you know, parent work order B, we can connect any of the work orders that may be under it at that sibling level. So that's the only restriction, is that any peers under the same parent can be connected. But we don't cross levels, and we don't cross between work orders and tasks.
Okay. I have a question here. How can I contact these speakers by email? If you just send us a question, just the way you did to ask that question, and request that a speaker email you, they'll reach you that way. What are the footprints of this application?
This application is pretty streamlined, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong, Nithya, but I think it's a pretty streamlined application. It was built to perform... You know, it was built to be a high-performance application because we know planners and schedulers like to have quick response times, and that's always a challenge when you're looking at many rows in a graphical tool. So we really wanted to make sure this thing worked very quickly and had very high performance up to that, you know, 1,000 work order range, which covers the majority of use cases that we see. It's easy to install. It's easy to maintain. The tables are rather, you know, relatively small and streamlined. So I think in general the footprint is very modest for the amount of functionality that it delivers.
Mm.
We did a lot of benchmarking on it in that regard, the data propagation and particularly the performance, and we did a lot of stress tests well beyond the typical use cases that we saw, and think that it's going to be a very, you know, very acceptable tool in those areas.
Okay, thank you. I have to butt in now and say that we've got to go. On your screen, you'll see a quick survey. Please take that so we can improve our jams for you. Attendees, you'll get an email today telling you that what I mentioned before, the replay will be available 24 hours from now, or actually 23 hours from now, at the same link that you used to get to your to the JAM page. We want to thank Nithya and Brian for speaking with us today about the scheduler, and there's lots of questions. We're going to ask the speakers to answer them in writing, and we'll post that on the new Asset Management Community webpage. And you can find out information about that by going to the IBM.com website, and under software, under Tivoli, go to the Maxwell section. That's all we have time for. Thank you very much, and have a great day.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, everyone, and thank you, Wendy.
Thank you.